You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You are the light.
Welcome today to Lifeline, brought to you by Bob Allen Ministries.
When the storm's within us range,
you are the light.
You're the master of the waves. You are the lifeline, the mighty God who saves.
Here's your host, Bob Allen.
Good morning. Good morning. Good Saturday morning. Wake up! Ha! How are you? This is Landon coming at you live at Lifeline Radio Ministry. Once again, get up. Call somebody, say get on the radio right now, 89.9 FM on your FM dial. You need to start your day with the Word of God. If you want to set your day in order, your house in order, if you want to rise above your mental thinking, because 99% of our battles between them two ears. If you want to stop that today, 89.9 FM right now, and I just stay on there the rest of the day. When you're done with me, don't leave. And if you've been on there, you've already been blessed, keep it going. Okay, don't walk away. Now listen. You can go online, too. You can call somebody in the Bahamas. You can call somebody in Chicago. You can call somebody in New York. You can call somebody in Canada. Say, listen, man, go on right now, WCNO.com. WCNO.com. When it comes up, click on live broadcast. WCNO.com. When it comes up, click on live broadcast, and you're in. Otherwise, if you miss it, WCNO.com. Click on demand during the week. Little calendar pops up. Hey, click on Saturday morning, 8:30, Lifeline. You're riding with us. You can go back and listen to, I don't know, however many years we've been on here. You can keep listening to these things. But listen, at the end, I'm going to give you emails and things like that so you can contact us. TryLifeline@gmail.com. Very easy. TryLifeline@gmail.com. Financial support, I will ask for it at the end. I sure could use your help. We foot the bill. Like I say this every time, no big deal. God always provides. But I just feel like I need to put it out there, prick your heart, so he'll keep on providing. You know what I mean? Listen, we're going to continue with Ephesians chapter 1. Last week, we were in Ephesians chapter 1. Which just, I don't know, God's got me stuck here because there's way more meat in here than I've ever stopped and give reverence to. Thinking I knew it, I don't know it. You know what I mean? So as I look, it's rocking my world. So get your Bible out right now. Get your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 1, very easy. All right, Galatians, Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look, last week, we're just going to recap really quick because last week I started, I think I went 1 through 6 or something like that. So in verse 2, we saw that Paul said these words. Paul said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul said to you. He said, grace be to you. Divine influence be upon your heart. That's the favor of God. You hear everybody talk about it? The grace of God is unmerited favor. It is. It is unmerited favor. You did not earn this. You haven't done nothing to receive this. Okay? He says, divine influence be upon your heart. Okay? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I told you last week, these two are never separate. If someone's got you in some kind of religion that God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son are separate, you're in trouble. You're never going to get the grace. You're not going to get the divine influence upon your heart. It has to come through Christ by God. It's God's design. Get in your Bible for yourself and find that out. Check that fact. Get that down in your spirit where you see it clear and you're no longer deceived in that area. Then he says, peace be unto you too from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? Quietness or to be set at one again. I got a buddy, Raymond. He needs this. Quietness, he needs this peace, or to be set at one again. All right, now we're going to skip over. We're going to start with the new teaching, probably verse 7. But real quick, raise your hands, close your eyes, whatever you're doing. If you're in your car, obviously do not do that. Just join me in your spirit. Let's pray and ask God's favor on this teaching. Let's pray and ask God's deliverance and guidance on this teaching, because you don't want what I got. You want what he's got, okay? Father God, we come to you now in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to be with us this day, this morning. I don't want any part of this, Lord. I'll put myself on neutral. You speak to me through your spirit, and I'll speak to your people. Teach us this morning, Lord. Teach me. I need to learn. Save myself and them that hear me, Lord. Come on, Lord. We need your spirit this morning. We need your anointing, your outpouring. We need your spirit from above to come in contact with the spirit from within so that we may flow like rivers of living water and feed your sheep, feed your people, feed myself, feed anybody within the sound of my voice through your spirit, your unction, and your guidance. We're here to be controlled by you and used by you. Devil, be on alert that we're about to destroy you. Okay, the prince of the air is going down this morning. Because the word of God is coming across the air. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that gives us that divine influence upon our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So you got it? Grace be to you, divine influence upon your heart, and peace, which is quietness or set at one again. All right? Now he says, you'll notice this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual. This is not a natural thing you're trying to achieve. You got to let go of your flesh and let God take over. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Here we go again. You'll never see them separate. In Christ. In Christ. If there's anything you pay close attention to today as I read God's word, pay attention to in Christ, in Him, in Christ, in whom. It's going to mention, I don't know, probably 10 times in this text, because I counted last night. There were 7 that just strictly said in Christ or in Christ Jesus, but there were many others that said in whom or in Him without specifically saying Christ, but referencing to Him. So over and over, he's got, I mean, it's a very strong point that you have to be in Christ to get this. Not about Christ. Don't be in the facade of church. Don't get in the religious doctrine of I go every Sunday and this is what I do and I do this here and I tithe and I... Where's Christ in your life? Where's Christ in your heart? Where's the divine influence upon your heart? Are you hearing God's voice? Is the unction coming upon you because the Spirit's in you and guiding you to do things to benefit God's kingdom? Are you pressing forward in boldness in the name of Jesus because He is marching your feet in the direction? Your steps are ordered by the Lord. The unctions come upon you because you've let the grace or the divine influence come in you, and you're led and guided by the Spirit, not by your carnal mind. Is that where you're at? Are you under that grace? Is that influence upon your heart? Is it a benefit to you and those in whom you're helping in the name of Jesus? And by the way, let me say this, because I learned this lesson a long time ago. When you do something out of the abundance of the Spirit from your heart, when you do this thing towards somebody in the name of God, tell them that. Because when you don't, they think it's the name of you. I know it sounds weird, but when you bless somebody, just, hey, brother, bless you, I just want to give you this 20. When you walk away, they're going, man, Landon's a man. Man, he just come up and gave me a 20. That blew the whole thing. God got no reference there. Jesus got no respect there. There was no glory of God that you didn't speak the oracles because you didn't say, hey, man, I'm giving you this 20 because God loves you. I'm giving you this 20 because I accepted Christ years ago. He has blessed me, and I have an extra 20 just to give you because God takes care of me, and He'll do the same for you. Something like that. When you do something trying to give God the glory, open your mouth and give Him the glory. Make it clear that, brother or sister, I am doing this to you because God has favor on my life and He'll do the same for you. Something of that nature, okay? Listen, don't want to get off track. Let's go to verse 7. Let's jump right to verse 7. First, I want to recap 5 because this is where it really starts again at letting you understand that you're adopted. You have an inheritance. When God looks at you, when you accept His Son, when you say, look, Lord, tired of all this, man. I need Christ. I know I need Christ. I've been battling. I didn't want to say the words. I don't want to be soft. But Lord, I need Christ. I'm tired of trying to run my own life. I really need your Son in me. I really need your Spirit in me badly. When you do that, He has all of a sudden, now you are in the family. Okay? You are adopted children, which means you are actually, God looks at you as a son or a daughter. Total personal. Total protection. Total love of God on your life. Total daddy care or mommy care towards you. All right? Now listen. Here we go in verse 7. He says, verse 5. Ephesians 1, verse 5, recap. Having predestinated. That means God simply put this in order way before you decided to accept it. Okay? He predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Think about that. Think about that. You're adopted as a child by Jesus Christ to Himself. I said again, you can't get there. If you go around Christ, you'll never make it. There is no getting to God around Christ. Let me make that perfectly clear. If you want to email me at trylifeline@gmail.com, I will show you scripture after scripture proving that you cannot get there without Christ. And if you have any doubt, just go to John chapter 10 today. Write this down real quick somewhere on a side note. John 10. You read John 10, I don't have to tell you anything. It strictly explains clearly you can't get there but Christ. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Let's start with 7. We're going to break this thing down real clear today. In whom we have redemption. through his blood, and that really literally means through his physical bloodshed, spiritual too, but he literally shed his blood for you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no repentance from sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood, what? Redemption from what? The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Here's what this verse really says to you. And I challenge you to start doing this. You've got to get some kind of concordance. You got to go back and you got to look at the era in which it was taught and the dialect in which they use and what the words meant at that time, because words have changed. I hear my kids talking about ratchet. That's ratchet. I don't know what in the heck they're talking about, but I know a ratchet to me is a piece of metal that you put a little thing on and you fix something on your car, your bicycle, you put that on a lug nut or something like that, and you loosen a bolt with it. Well, to them, it's not that. It's some other thing that I have not figured out yet to this day. But I'm telling you, that's how dialect has changed over time. For you kids, listen, you're out there laughing right now. Landon's gotten old. Whatever. Lay off me. Listen, here's the deal. In whom we have redemption. Now, listen, in whom we have. You need to wake up today and realize you possess this. You've conceived this. In whom, again, in Christ, over and over, in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ, in him, in whom. It's going to say in. It's not on, it's not about, and it's not around. It's only in him and in him alone. If you're listening to me this morning and you're going, I don't know if I'm in Christ or not. I go to church and I play Christ. I'm all around the church. I'm all around the music team. I do all these things. Are you in him or not? If you're not 100%, if you can't answer that question in your mind, I know I am for sure. I'm 100% sure I'm in Christ. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. We have a communication. We speak. We talk to each other. If that's not you, you call up here right now and say, hey, Landon, man, I don't know. I've been walking with God 20 years, but I don't know that I'm in or not. I want to make sure I'm in. I want to be in. I want to verbalize to God right now. I'm going to open my mouth and make that covenant. God, I want you in me to guide me, lead me, speak to me, whatever. Be in me. 221-1100. Call up here and get Christ in you today. 221-1100. 221-1100. That's very easy. I don't even think you have to leave the top row except for the zero. You know what I mean? Don't be scared, man. Listen, toll free. 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Call up here and say, I want Jesus in me today for sure. In whom we possess through Christ, we conceive through Christ, redemption. In whom we have redemption. What is that? That's the riddance or deliverance from. So by conceiving him, by that grace, which is that influence upon your heart or that favor of God, by giving the Spirit to you to live in you, that's big time favor. Natural man does not have that favor. Only you who accept Christ in you have that favor. He says this, we conceive or possess riddance and deliverance from sin. How? Through his blood. Okay, this is actually him literally shedding his blood. That's the way this became available to you and I. And remember I told you, these two are never separate. You can't just come to God and avoid the bloodshed. Christ shed his blood. It was the design of God, predestinated and determined before time. And once he did that, you have to come through the blood of Christ to God. It was God's design. You skip that, you know not God. Let me say that again for those of you who have skipped it. If you skip that process, if you don't come to the cross of Christ and accept the bloodshed that he shed for you to forgive your sins, you do not know God. Challenge me on that one. Email me, trylifeline@gmail.com. I'll give you scripture after scripture after scripture to shut down your argument and let you see. I'm not trying to be right. I just want you to see. I don't want the devil to dupe you. I don't want you to go through life deceived. And then the end come and you think you've been serving God all this time. If you've avoided Christ, you know not God. You cannot. The Bible says so. It's very clear. John 10, look at it again, I tell you. Okay? So you have the riddance or the deliverance from anything through that bloodshed. The forgiveness of sin. What is that? It's the pardon. Again, you're pardoned. You're delivered from sin, any transgression or any offense you've ever committed. How? According to what? The riches of his grace. So according to, this is based on the measure of God's power, God's authority, God's sovereignty. Okay? So you don't have, it's got nothing to do with you now. All right? According to the measure of God's sovereignty, God's authority, and the abundance of, that's what that riches means, and the abundance of what again? The abundance of the divine influence upon your heart. That's grace. That's a benefit to you. that's a major benefit or major favor, that divine influence upon your heart. All right, then he says, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. This is verse 8. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself again, which he purposed in himself. It's all in Christ, in him. You got to catch that. If nothing else, I want that to sink in your spirit. So when I'm off the air, you're thinking, man, it really is. It's all in Christ. It's all about Christ. I'm looking for the works. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for the spirit to fall on me and me to just run around like a crazy man. But it's in Christ. I need to slow down and focus on Christ. I need to focus on Christ. Christ will teach you. Christ will lead you. Christ will fill you with his spirit. And when you're in one, when you're in one accord with him, when you abide in him and he abides in you, you will no longer be thinking, what shall I do? Where shall I read? What verse shall I give? Who shall I help? You won't have to figure it out. The Spirit will guide you into all truth, is what the Word says. Let me say that again. You'll stop trying to figure it out in your mind, and the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Here's what that's saying. Wherein, again, in Christ, very personal. This is a who thing. Wherein is very personal. Who he hath abounded, which is to be in excess of. You'll have more than you can figure out to be in excess of or to cause to superabound. Tell me you don't want that in your life. Who does not want that in their life? Towards. This little preposition is very powerful, towards. Okay, when he says, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom, that means, towards means to, he's abounded to you or into you. He's abounded this wisdom into you by that grace, that spirit, that interceding of the spirit from within. Towards us, that's literally we. Us, ourselves, you who listen to me and me who talk, okay? In all, what is that? Every little thing. Every single whole thing of wisdom. And wisdom is just wisdom. That's what it is. There's no way to break it. It is wisdom. Divine influence upon your heart is wisdom, okay? And prudence. Here, listen to this. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You know what this means in this particular text? This word prudence, if you look it up in the Greek, it's 5428. In case you do have some kind of concordance, or especially a Strong's concordance, that's the number I gave you, it means mental action or moral insight. No longer are you controlled by your mind, but the divine influence upon your heart will start to control your mental action or your moral insight. A moral insight. Number 9, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Having made known unto us, he gives you to understand. That's what that means. Having made known unto us, having given us to understand the mystery. You know what the mystery is? The mystery, when you look it up, it's the idea of silence. The ideology that the scripture's so deep, the parables are so riddled, okay, that I really can't figure this out. I need somebody to help me interpret this Bible. I can't do this on my own. I would never read the book of Revelation, Landon. Way too deep. I need a scholar to help me with that. That's not what God says. God says, that's a lie, man. People been telling you the Bible's too deep. You don't have the education. You don't have the understanding. You don't need it. You need the grace of God, the divine influence upon your heart through the Spirit. The Spirit will open your understanding. It says so right here. Wherein he hath abounded towards us, okay, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, having made known, having given to understand, the idea of silence is a lie. It's removed. The mystery's unveiled. He's taken the lid off, and he has revealed. The revelations come through what the word means by that spirit that lives in you, of his will, his purpose, and his decree, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. His will is the purpose or decree of God. His good pleasure is the kindness and the wish upon you. His kindness towards you. What he wishes for your life. His purpose for your life. The first purpose, his will in this verse, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that's something that you find. You get in the scripture. You start digging. The Holy Spirit takes it off, reveals it to you, opens your eyes of understanding, and you begin to see his purpose. As you begin to see his purpose, pay close attention to what I'm saying. As you begin to see his purpose, then his pleasure, it pleases him that you're seeking his scripture, that you're beginning to know him, that you're seeking his purpose in your life. As you seek that purpose and his will, then it pleases him. When he's pleased, his kindness comes toward you. His wish for you comes toward you. And his purpose comes towards you. So you got in here and sought his will, which is to find out his purpose that pleased God. Now he starts to pour more purpose towards you because he sees you're walking in the direction that was set forth before the beginning of time. And then what happens? When you find that purpose and you find that other purpose, guess what? You got purpose in your life. And that means at the very end of this verse, he says, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That means he has placed before or set before you the path in which you were to follow, and you didn't follow it until now. When you come to that understanding, when you accept Christ's spirit within you, when you come to the cross to say, yeah, I want to get to Father God, and I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to go through Jesus Christ and that bloodshed, because the Bible tells me that's how I get there. That's how I get there. Any that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when I say, Jesus, you come in and you help me, that's how I get there. Now my purpose is clear, because God will place before me what he's already placed before the beginning of time, and he's set forth before the beginning of time. My path will be clear, and I'll no longer tarry off in the right or the left or a land that I don't belong in for 40 years. Like the children of Israel. It won't happen to me. Now here he says in 10, look at this. This thing is serious. You got to get in here and break this down. You got to break the Bible down. You'll see more meat than you ever realize, because over the course of thousands of years, devil's done a good job of diluting our verbiage, diluting a lot of slang words and all this. We don't have the meat and the meaning that it really is meant to be. When you go back and look at it, it'll blow your mind what the Bible is really trying to tell you. Now, he says here that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and this sounds like a riddle. You're like, what are you talking about? In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. You see this? In Christ. In whom? In Christ. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. You can't be in earth. When you're in earth, you're dead, you're done. If you didn't accept Christ, the worm's going to eat your body. All right? We won't go into the hell. I don't have time for a hell teaching, but that's where you end up. But notice it always says in heaven. Never says in earth. On earth. You're on earth, but you need to abide in heaven while you're on earth. We'll get to that if we have time. Listen, verse 10, here we go. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, it sounds complex, but it's very simple. The dispensation is the administration of a household. So in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he's saying, I'm going to, now that you've come to me and you found my will, you've sought out my purpose that pleased me. And I, God, am starting to give my kindness and my wish and my purpose for your life. I'm starting to guide you. I'm starting to place before you and set your feet on solid rock. I'm starting to give you your path. I'm setting forth where you're to go. I'm giving you your direction. Now I will dispense unto you the administration of the house of God. When you start walking in the will of God, when you start having that intimate relationship and you become the son, now the Father can trust you. The Father can trust those who have accepted this inheritance in Christ. You become a child, a son or a daughter. As a son or a daughter, you now have the trust and the favor of the Father. Same as the God set this in order, and we're supposed to operate in our natural realm, which we tend to fail at too. But if you figure it out in the spirit, your household will run the same. So he says, now I, God, will dispense to you the administration, right? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, I'll give you the administration as a steward. You'll be responsible for the economy of the kingdom of God. Don't hear money when you hear that. It does involve money, but the economy involves kindness. It involves a lot of the fruits of the spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those are the characters or the values that operate in this kingdom. You'll start to dispense those to other people. You'll be a steward of the ways of God, of the oracles of God, the teachings of God, the love of God, the finance of God. All right, the Spirit of God. Now, that will give you the fullness. He says, in the fullness of time, that means the completion of the occasion or the opportunity. Let me recap this in case you've gotten lost with me, okay? He says this. God, he says, very personal, okay? This is to we, this is to us, this is to every, and I'm giving you my wisdom, God says. All right? And that prudence, remember, I'm giving you the wisdom so your mental action and your moral insight will line up with my word, and you can actually speak the oracles of God over someone's life and begin to change your own life and those that hear you. He says, I give you to understand. The silence has been removed. The mystery of the Bible is done because I gave you my spirit. Without my spirit, let me tell you this, if you're someone reading the Bible without the spirit of God, there'll be mysteries. It'll be hard to figure out. Their parts will seem like riddles. Don't stop. Keep pressing forward, because eventually you're going to cross that barrier and break that wall down and accept the Spirit. All of a sudden, God's going to take the lid off and reveal himself to you. And from that day forward, you'll never look back, and no man can stop you. So don't let me discourage you. You keep reading until the Spirit comes upon you and within you, okay? So he says, I've given you to understand there is no more silence in my word. I've given you my personal spirit to live in you. The revelation will come. Now you understand my purpose and my decree. You have my wish. You have my purpose for you. And I've placed before you and set before you where to go. Now in the dispensation, which is the administering of completion, you're going to help somebody else. You're going to save somebody else. Lead them to Christ. You're going to administer my economy towards my people. When you do that, there'll be a completed work that takes place. I'll come in them just like I did you. I'll live in them. I'll sup with them. I'll abide with them. I'll teach them. I'll train them. And I'll change their everything, including their thinking, including their heart. And he says that thing about of time, that's the occasion or opportunity. Occasions and opportunities will come before you all the time. If they're not coming before you, it's because you haven't set yourself still before him. You haven't accepted that grace. You haven't taken on that inner spirit to guide you upon your heart. Okay? This is great, man. This will give you all the occasions and all the opportunities you ever want to serve God. Ever. He might gather together in one. In that original sense, it means this. Let me end with this, because we think that that's when Jesus ascends and all the people come together in one. That is that, but that cannot happen unless what I'm about to tell you happens. When he says here in this verse, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, here's what that means. When you look it up in its original sense, it means to sum up or briefly comprehend. So when he's going to gather together in one, he means by accepting my grace, by accepting my spirit to move in you and control your heart, by getting that inner unction from the inside, by the grace of God, through my spirit, you now can all come into one accord mentally. It's to sum up or briefly comprehend. This is not a physical, but an internal understanding by the spirit. When you accept that grace of God, again, okay? When you accept that grace of God, that influence upon your heart by the spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, when you accept that in you, now we all get to sum up. The sum of things are we're becoming the same. God's getting a sum total to make us all the same on the inside and to make your mental disposition the same as the next man. You'll all begin to comprehend the things of God on the same page. It's not physical, but it's internal by the Spirit. You'll be connected and there'll be a correlation of you and God. You'll reflect him. You'll look like him. And this will be an extension of heaven on the earth. Now when he comes back to gather you together, you'll all be there. If you don't get gathered together in the spirit now so that your mental dispensation gets the same because the spirit is teaching each and every one of us and we're on the same page, if you got one guy over here in church without the spirit and one guy with the spirit, they're not going to think the same. One guy or girl is getting influenced by the spirit. One's getting influenced by their own work and the best thinking they have. That's a far cry from the wisdom of God. We've got to get together in one. We've got to come to an internal understanding of God on the same page. It can only come by the Spirit. Hopefully I'll get to break this down more with you next time, but you've got to get in here, break these words down, figure out what he's saying. You got to have the Spirit of God within you. It's not too late to call here right now. 221-1100. I need it, Landon. I need it. I'm tired of trying to figure it out on my own. 221-1100. I'm tired of being separate in the church. I want my church to come together as one. Well, then every one of you get filled with the Spirit, and that'll solve that problem right there. Half the problems you have will go away because you'll all think the same and be led by the same spirit. You'll be in one accord in one unison. 221-1100, I'm waiting on you. 888-221-8990. Come on. 888-221-8990. Here's the deal. Listen anytime. WCNO.com. I need you to connect with me. I want to help you. TryLifeline@gmail.com. TryLifeline@gmail.com. Send your support to me. Lifeline. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, 34958. One more time. Lifeline, Box 1603, Jensen Beach, 34958. I love you. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Lifeline with your host, Bob Allen, a broadcast ministry brought to you by your generous gifts of support. To support this ministry, please send your gifts to Lifeline, P.O. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. To contact Dr. Allen, the email address is trylifeline@gmail.com. Thank you for listening and join us next week at the same time for Lifeline.